Matthew 5 tonight. It's come to this. If you missed any of the 12 weeks, I encourage you to come and beg me for the DVDs, which I'll be glad to rent to you. I'm just kidding. If you need to see those, praise God. If you need to see those and you missed any, if you did not get the book, I encourage you to get the book and read it, because this is one of the greatest things we can do for ourselves, is to make sure that our hearts are right before God, especially in these last days. I can't control you. Believe me, I would like to. How many would like to control your husband, wife, children, neighbors, the police, especially the politicians? And I said, God, if you just give me a dial for the White House, you know, intense, sane, you know, the settings would be different every day. Bomb them, forgive them, you know. I'd be a pretty good president, wouldn't I? But we can't. We can't control others, but we can control what we do. See, God gave us, when He made us free, that was more a threat than it was a promise. Because when you're free, you don't have excuse. See, when you're bound by sin, you have an excuse that you're bound by sin. Are you with me tonight? See, Jesus said, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." That means there's no ties, there's no chains. God doesn't got a collar around us. He doesn't got an electric fence. We go too far, He zaps us. No, that's not true. He allows us to follow Him. Matter of fact, He encourages us to do so. And so in following Him, our hearts have to be right. Matthew 5, Jesus addresses this, and beginning in verse 24, He says, or 23, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Assuredly, I say to you, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny." What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about paying the price of laying down our lives, sacrificing ourselves on our desires, our purposes, what we feel our purposes, our demands. See, we demand that people kowtow and treat us right. And sometimes that's not the case. People don't treat us right. People do mean, cantankerous things. But we've got to walk in forgiveness. We've got to. We have no choice. Even so far as to say, I'm going to stop praying. I'm going to put my Bible away and I'm going to go find this person. I'm going to seek them out. I'm going to get them on the phone. I'm going to get them on something. I'm going to ask them to forgive me. Or if I've done anything to them, to forgive me, and I forgive them. It's absolutely imperative, because what that does is it opens up the conduit of communication with God, so He's able to forgive us and bless us and pour His life into us and give us revelation and do all the things He promised to do. The one thing that stops us, though, is our pride and our unforgiveness. Because we have, if you'll turn over to Hebrews with me, Hebrews chapter, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that, you can keep it there, I guess. I could see real good. I could see that. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about the rest. I really don't have time to develop, but the rest is a powerful place. Strive, God says, to enter my rest. When do we rest? Anybody? When do we rest? After the work is done. Work is completed, we rest. Come on, the work has been done on the cross. You're not listening to me. Work's been done on the cross. Even forgiveness. Been done on the cross. Even forgiving our enemies. He set the president when he said, why do you think he hung on a cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? He wasn't talking as the man Jesus. He was talking as the Son sacrifice. He was speaking for all humankind when he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you know he had every right to be mad at the officers that nailed his flesh to the cross, those that beat him and mocked him. But he said, Father, forgive them. And here in Hebrews chapter 4, he says this. In verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, I don't want to lay a big burden on you, because it's not about burden. It's about responsibility. We have a responsibility before God, knowing this to be true, knowing the Word of God to be true. We have a responsibility to not just play act, not just saying, John is going to be developing this in a real way, and there's going to be some prayer at the end, and I encourage you, although we're not there, we don't feel the same things as those folks, but we're going to have some prayer time afterwards at the end of this video, and I encourage you to pray with John, because there are going to be things that God is going to tweak tonight in your spirit that is going to be absolutely imperative to your growth in Christ. Absolutely imperative that we forgive and hold no offense. It's going to hurt. Some things are going to hurt to give up. Because how many know we get pleasure out of unforgiveness sometimes? Don't let my hand be up there by myself. We get pleasure out of unforgiveness. We say that people deserve it. And I deserve, and I have a right to be mad. No, we don't have any right to be angry at anyone or harbor any unforgiveness no matter what they've done. Let me ask you, was there anything worse than nailing a sinless man to the cross? Anything worse? Anything worse than spitting and mocking a sinless man? It was without sin. I don't know of anything. Murdering a completely innocent person. And so we have that to face. We have that responsibility. Because if we walk through life just faking it till we make it, we're in trouble. This is one area that you cannot fake it with God, because God is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. He knows from the get-go if you're just saying, well, I forgive them. And then every time you think about them, you go sideways. You say things you're not supposed to say. You think things you're not supposed to think. Even the horrible things. I wish they'd get what they deserve. Why are they still alive? Come on, somebody. This is where we live now. I'm getting in your head. We have no right to do that. And matter of fact, we've got to ask God to please give us the wherewithal, see, to get rid of all that. And I'm telling you, when you do, you'll jump yards ahead. You talk about going from A to B to C to D. You'll go through that so quick, because it's one of the things that hold us back from, and Hebrews chapter 3, 4, and 5 are really, that whole section of Hebrews is really digging on the rest of Christ, the rest of God. Labor to enter that rest. That rest is talked about of, I don't harbor anything. I don't have anything against anybody, because God holds nothing against me. Think about what God did for you. He said, I'll take everything you ever did wrong, everything you do wrong, and everything you ever will do wrong. I've taken it away. And I'll give you everything I ever did right. It goes on your account. All my holiness, yours. All my righteousness, yours. All my victories, yours. All my conquering, yours. All my health I have to give, yours. All my prosperity, yours. You didn't do anything to earn it. I just gave it to you because. Now, what a trade. Come on. That's like trading 70,000 truckloads of dirt for 1,000,000 truckloads of gold. Come on, somebody. There's no comparison. And so, I want three, before we get into the film tonight, I want three testimonies, very short testimonies, In what way would you say this study on offense has made a lasting impact on your life? Praise God. Boy, that's the key when we get extra tools in our tool belt to offset what the enemy tries to do. Because the enemy's not, how many have lived long enough to realize the devil's not fair? He doesn't play fair even when we beg him, please, could you give me a break? So we've got to obey. Years ago when we went through this bait of Satan, I forgave somebody that I didn't even think I had an offense against. And I thought I forgave them. And then I was back in that area and ran into them. And it still hurt. And so I had to deal with my heart. And that's when I drove a long way. So I had a long drive back and I had to deal with that in a secret place. And God took care of it and removed it. This is so neat when God says, okay, that's all he's waiting for. He's just waiting for, God, can you take it? And he'll take it. He doesn't take it without our permission. But when we say, God, will you take this hurt? Will you take this pain? Will you take this unforgiveness? He said, I've been waiting for that. Bam, he takes it away from you. That's an awesome thing. So let's watch the video and then we'll have some discussion afterwards. Our whole faith was built on men that had to walk with no offense. All 12 disciples, save John, 10 disciples, ended up dead and were tortured and beaten all through their ministries. We would not have what we have today had they not walked in forgiveness. And we see a picture here in Acts chapter 24 that John touched on, I want to revisit just for a minute. John chapter 24, 10. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, "Inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone, nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogues or in the city, nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men." And so Paul felt it necessary when he was speaking to the king, to the governor, that he would say to him, you know what, I strive in my life to have no offense toward God or man. How many's mind was going back during John's testimony? How many's went back to situations you've had with people? It's tough. And when we find God is so good to us, because it's like washing out a dirty cup. We find that when the water of the Holy Spirit begins to deal with us, we find there's still some dirt there. And God's so good not to condemn us, but to get rid of it. Amen? I've given part of my testimony before, part of what I'm about to say, I don't think I've ever said publicly, but I will tonight. It's not to compare anything with anybody. I haven't lived your life. I don't know what you've lived. I know what I've lived through. And when I was a little kid in my ninth year, I decided to go out for baseball, and for me that was a big thing. How many remember how scary that was when you first went out for? Maybe it wasn't for you, but I wasn't that good at sports, but I wanted to do it. They usually put me in right field. You know anything about baseball? That's the easiest position. So, you know, I couldn't screw up too bad out there. But I went out for baseball, and my father, I stayed after school and went out for the team. My father stopped afterwards to get me the first night of practice, and he had ate something that was all over the front of him. He got out of the car. He was drunk as could be, screaming at me from the parking lot to get my so-and-so to the car. How many know at 9 years old, that's quite embarrassing. And so You know, I traipsed back to the car, and that's the last time I never went back to Little League. I was too ashamed to go back to Little League. And then the summer of my ninth year, my father's habit was to take us to town and leave us set in the car while he went and got drunk. So today, if they did that, we'd be in a home somewhere. But we sat in the back seat of the car from 9 o'clock in the morning till 2 or 3 in the afternoon, on the street in town, just sitting there waiting for him to come back. And so this time, he was good enough to pull us into a car needed some kind of work done on it. And so we sat in the garage. He actually pulled in the garage, told us if he got out of the car, he'd beat us. So we stayed in the car while the mechanics worked on the car, held up on the lift and everything. We sat in the car. And so he came back. He was drunk and out of his mind and screaming and all kinds of things, already embarrassed. And somehow we got in the car to come home, and somehow I sat in the front. In my nine-year-old mind, I figured, you know, if he passes out, I can grab the wheel and kind of at least try to save us. Usually the three of us boys sat in the back. So I got in the front, and we're headed down the road, and this coal truck comes right past us and throws a stone right into the windshield, and it goes right between my father and I, right between my two brothers, and landed in the back window. Smashed the windshield. Could have killed me. I remember just like it happened yesterday, and I was already angry with him. This made me all the angrier. Winter came that year, and now I was 10 years old, and I was out sled running, came in. My dad was angry and had hot boiling coffee that he spilled all over me. I had third-degree burns from my waist all the way to my feet. So at that time, you didn't go to the hospital. We didn't. Number one, we didn't have a car at that time. Something happened to the car, we didn't have a car. So my mother treated me the old-fashioned way. Took mustard plaster, put on my legs, and every time the scabs would get nice and thick, she'd pull them off, put mustard plaster on. And so I went through the pain of that. I was out of school for a month. And when I went back to school, I didn't want to take gym because people would see my legs. And so I didn't want to take gym, so I had to fight with the teachers. And then when I finally did take gym and people saw my legs, they made fun of me. Are you there? I never heard my dad once ask forgiveness. Never said, I'm sorry. I couldn't tell anybody what happened. When they asked what happened, I would just make up a story. So instead of getting anything else, I got angry. I hated weakness in people. If I saw a weak person, I'd pick on them and beat up on them because I was picked on when I was weak. Anybody there? And I carried that with me until January 12th, 1984. I just looked it up to make sure I remembered the date, but it was January 12th, 1984. I was in college, and we were dealing with this very subject of asking, forgiving people. And I had struggled. It started that Sunday, and it went all the way to Thursday. That was a Thursday night, and I had struggled with God. I wrestled with myself, and I talked to my wife about it. I said, I just can't forgive this guy. He's dead. My dad died in 1980. This is four years after. And to boot, he was in heaven, if you can believe that. So I was angry that he was in heaven, and I was angry I had to forgive him. I just didn't want to. And God dealt with me and dealt with me. And finally on that Thursday night, I can still see the carpet. I can still see the wood paneling. I was standing in the corner. I couldn't even be at the altar. Everybody's at the altar. I was over standing in the corner. And I was crying out to God. I said, God, I don't want to forgive this man. Can I just hold this to myself? Can I just... Because I let him in every part of my heart. But there's this great big chest where I had all this anger and this thing that I loved. It made me... Who I was at the time. I was a tough guy. I didn't need anybody. Come on, are you there? And when God finally got me and said, if you'll open this up, I'll take it. I opened up that thing and God just scooped it out of me. Just scooped it out of me. And I was free. I was free. It was then he was able to take some other things that I needed to deal with that he could have never dealt with. I wondered why when I was first saved, a lot of things happen immediately like it does happens when you're born again. But there were some things that God had to deal with that I was fasting and praying about, and he couldn't deal with it because I had unforgiveness in my heart. He says, if you have unforgiveness, I can't forgive you, and I can't help you with these things. I just cannot help you with these things. If you'll give, trust me, if you'll give your hurt and your pain to the Lord, no matter where it is, if it's current in your day, right now, if you're dealing with anything, children, grandchildren, friends, that uncle you only see once a year, I promise you, if you'll give it to God, be the best. John said, you know, there was something that just came up and came out of him. Man, that's so true. I don't know if that happened to you during this teaching, but I want to pray. I want to pray again tonight here live and just say, God, deal with my heart. And I promise you, if you'll give it to Him, it's a scary thing to let God in where you don't want Him to be, where you kind of say, I'm protected. This is the real me. This is something I don't share with anybody. I deserve this. This is my unforgiveness. I don't want anybody. I'm telling you, it will change the way you breathe, live, see, hear. The Scriptures will open up to you. Prayer life will open up to you. Your love for your spouse will open up to you if you'll just give it to the Lord. Much we could say. I had other things to say tonight, but I really want to pray. And then what we're going to do is we're going to just hang out. If you want to come up and have prayer with Terry and I, we'd be glad to do that for you. But I just want to pray for you, and then we'll continue to minister. If you want to visit, you can do that as well. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you, God. When I thought about that time, that precious time, January 12th, 1984, when my life was changed forever, God, I thank you for that. I thank you that you dealt with me deep in my heart, God. And I didn't even think you could do it, God. I was not even aware that you could do so much with my will once I gave it to you. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and my sisters. I have no idea what they've been through. I don't know what they have harbored in their heart. Maybe they don't have anything. Maybe there's people here tonight that have taken care of that. And so I ask them to pray with me and agree with me in prayer. God, for the ones that have things that they need to give to you, this is a holy place tonight, God. It's just you and me. Forget about the person to your left, to your right. It's just you and God. Search my heart, Lord. Pray this with me. Search my heart, Lord. Search my heart. You don't need to repeat it. Just pray in your heart. Search my heart. Just leave. Let everything within me, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me, if there be any unforgiveness in me, these people or that person that hurt me may never change. I pray that they do. But Lord, I want to change. I want to ask that forgiveness tonight. Please forgive me for harboring. And I choose in my life right now. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion, Lord. It's a choice that I'm making right now to forgive those people, that person, that event. In the precious, mighty name of my example, the Lord Jesus Christ. Take it now, Lord. Take it from me. Lord, I give it to you with all my heart. I renounce it. I turn away from it. I repent. Lord, I ask you to move on those people, that person, that event. Lord, wash it clean from my mind. Minister to them. May they be blessed in every way. May they come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ if they are not already. God, may you humble them and minister to them. But Father, tonight I stand before you as one that wants to be clean, having nothing between you and me. Nothing, Lord. Take it all. I'm sensing in my heart tonight that there's somebody that the unforgiveness is for yourself. You can't forgive yourself. I want to talk to you tonight. Jesus forgave you. You have no right not to forgive you. Those things that you did were in the past. You can't go back and redo them. Forgive yourself. I break that hold that the enemy has right now in Jesus' name. Any telltale hold, any chain, any lies, I break the lies of the enemy that God cannot forgive that sin. He forgives everything. He forgives everything as we confess. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So God, thank you. Thank you for cleansing us. Thank you for forgiving us.